Hi there, this is Alan Tudyk. I'm Wash. And at times I will wash myself just when I get dirty. This is Hypeable Podcast. Talk about Firefly, why don't you?
Welcome, everybody, back to Rewatchable, a podcast brought to you from the folks at Hypeable.com, which is a general entertainment news site. And currently, we are doing this podcast to rewatch, as the name suggests, some of our very favorite TV series that went off the air too soon or we just missed them. And right now, we are in the middle of rewatching the Joss Whedon classic Firefly, and we're just sort of passing over the halfway mark, and we are now up to the episode called Ariel. So before we get into Ariel itself, I just want to remind everybody how to get in contact with us. You can send us an email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @re_watchable, or you can post over on Hypeable.com, that's HYPABLE.com, over in the podcast section. And we love getting that feedback, folks. So please get in touch with us and let us know what you think. As I said, today we are going to be discussing the episode called Ariel. So to give you a recap of what happens, Serenity arrives on a planet called Ariel so Inara can get her mandatory yearly checkup at the hospital there, and Mal decides that nobody else is going onto the planet. No jobs, no recreation, no nothing. This doesn't sit very well with the crew, especially Jane. So Simon saves the day by proposing his own job for them to do. Simon requests that they help him sneak River into the hospital, and in return, he will give them everything they need to pick up a great haul of drugs from the hospital that they can then sell on the black market. So that's how they're going to make money. The crew makes their preparations, getting uniforms, painting a helicopter-looking ambulance ship, learning the lingo, etc. Everything goes fairly smoothly at the hospital for Mal and Zoe, but Jane has double-crossed them and called in the Alliance to turn River and Simon in without anybody else knowing. So they run into a bit of trouble. The 2x2 Hands of Blue guys that River has been worried about the entire time arrive, kill everyone that has talked to River and Simon, and then Jane changes his mind and helps them out and helps them escape back to Serenity, figuring out that, no one will ever know about his almost treason. But Mal figures it out, locks Jane in the airlock, and threatens his life if he ever tries to do anything like that again. So that's our recap of what happened. And I'm joined today on the podcast by three other people. You have myself here. I'm Laura. I am the Firefly superfan. And then I am also being joined by Caitlin, Kristen, and Kyle. So,
hey guys. Oh, sorry. I thought we were all going to say hi.
No, that's okay. I was going to start with the newbies anyway, so no problem. So I guess we want to start with our newbies. So newbies, what did you guys think about this episode?
I love this episode. It was great. It had so much Simon in it. Simon was badass. Simon was adorable. The plot was awesome. I loved the plot of Jane turning against them because, like not that I love that Jane turned against them, but I like that action and that drama, and it was really awesome. And it was really funny how, like, as soon as he didn't get his money, he was like, "Ah, crap, well, this is a mistake." I loved the conversation between Jane and Mal at the very end. That I really wanted Jane to die really, really bad. I'm a horrible person, I know, but, so close.
Yeah, I loved this episode. I don't think it like ranks as one of my favorites or anything, but I really, really enjoyed it. The plot just was really well done, and I loved the River Simon bits and getting to see them together and her just really trusting him and all the stuff with Jane and the creepy, you know, Hands of Blue guys that just, they're incredibly weird. So yeah, no, I love the whole thing. It was just lots of fun.
I'll say that this episode is probably my favorite episode of the entire series because it's so Simon and River heavy. And as I've said multiple times, their sibling relationship is pretty much my favorite thing about the show. So much love between the Tam siblings, and then love of the Firefly crew as Mal is protecting them. I just love it.
Yeah, this is a big hit for me too. When I first watched the series, I was a huge Simon and Kaylee shipper. And not that I'm not still, but I've kind of wandered a little more over to Mal and Inara. But I really, really love exactly what you're talking about, how much Simon gets to shine in this episode and show himself off as being a valuable person with a really awesome skill set. This episode for me is just so up there in terms of one that I love just to watch and rewatch. Like, if I had to pick an episode, it's like this one, and it's Out of Gas, which I know you guys discussed the last time, and I wish I could have been there for it. But these are just some really classic ones that I adore. Why don't we get into some of our episode discussion right now? And we are missing a couple of people this time out. As we said, we are definitely a very heavy Simon, River, and then the crew that goes down to the planet. But we are missing people. Like, Inara is gone, but we also are missing Shepherd Book. Did anybody just sort of notice that Book was just kind of, like, out of it here? Did anybody just wonder, like, why Book wasn't in the episode?
Well, when we first, like, get into the episode, I didn't really notice he was gone. And then I think it's Mal says something about, well, you could have just gotten off with Shepherd Book at the Abbey. And I just kind of took a step back and went, wait, is he, like, gone then? Like, because he was technically just traveling with them. Like, he wasn't really a part of the crew. And I was like, I wonder, like, he's not just gone, is he? Like, he's coming back? I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, no, he's definitely back. But it was just, it's just kind of weird that they just sort of, I guess they felt like, oh, we just don't need too many people. And they just sort of said, okay, the easiest thing we can do is throw Inara off on some sort of medical companion checkup. And what are we going to do with Shepherd? Oh, I know, he's going to miss his brothers at the Abbey. We'll put him there. Like, I guess the writers just needed less people, and they had to come up with an excuse as to why they didn't need Shepherd or Inara. So, I don't know. I thought that was just kind of interesting how they just got rid of two characters kind of randomly. And if you think about it, too, they kind of very much backburner Wash and Zoe also. You know, they don't do a lot either. They're mostly still on the ship. So, it was definitely an episode where they kind of cut down on the number of cast members that they needed. It was the first time that we got to see one of the core planets really up close. I mean, we had certainly heard about what it was like living on the core and everything. What was your impression of seeing a core planet for the first time? Was it what you expected or not what you expected?
I don't think I really knew what I was expecting. Like, they just started talking about it being a core planet, and I was like, what exactly does that mean? And then they kind of start to describe it, like, you know, it's really beautiful, and Wash is trying to talk Zoe into, like, going down and seeing all of these really interesting things that Zoe has no interest in. And I just, like, I started to kind of get an idea for it. I was like, okay, all right, like, I'm, you know, I understand now. The one thing I didn't get is it, like, Alliance loyal, or is it just, like, a special, like, gated community type planet, or...
Yeah, oh no, it's definitely Alliance loyal. I mean, absolutely, okay. 100% Alliance loyal, yeah. It's just the Outer Rim planets that maybe are more like the Wild Wild West. This is like every ounce of rebellion has been crushed. I mean, there is a black market, and you can see that Jane clearly uses some of the black market connections to their advantage, but it's absolutely 100% Alliance loyal.
Good to know.
yeah. I mean, and what I thought was interesting, too, in the episode is, you know, even though the crew of Serenity, you know, sided with the rebels and everything like this, you still get to see that they do miss the creature comforts. Like you were saying, Wash is like, there's these really cool parks, and don't we want to see different things? And even though the people who control this were, you know, like on the opposite side of the war, there is still clearly creature comforts there that they miss, that they would like to go back to, even if they had the opportunity to, which I think is kind of interesting.
Well, it's also really telling because this is the type of planet that Simon has known his entire life. So you get a little more insight into the life that he left behind, that he grew up in, and it gives you a little more idea of his mannerisms that might seem out of place on Serenity. They fit on Ariel.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely the chance to see Simon in his element, which we'll get to it a little bit later in the podcast. But what kind of like kicks off the action of all of this really is the fact that River out of nowhere attacks Jane and really like mortally attacks Jane. I mean, it could have gone a whole lot worse. You know, that could have been a, like a deep in stabbing wound rather than just like a slicing wound. Were you guys like shocked when you saw River do that, and what happened? Like, what was your reaction to River attacking Jane like that?
We've seen her like kind of go crazy and have her like shouting fits and stuff, but I don't know how much we've ever seen her attack someone. So it really threw me off. Like, I was like, you know, is this a sign of things getting worse for her, or is she just like, or is it just normal behavior? Like, is that just something that they've been dealing with, like that she's, you know, hurt people here and there? And so I was a little confused, but yeah, like shocked was more of the emotion at the time.
I wasn't shocked at all. Like, I saw it coming. I have no idea why I saw it coming, just, but like, part of me thought maybe it was part of her plan and she did it for a reason to get them to like a hospital or something, but then he ended up getting stitched up by Simon. So it was confusing, but it wasn't surprising.
It takes me off guard every time I see it, that it just happens and it's, you know, there's not any love lost between the Tams and Jane, but it's such a shift from snapping at each other to, you know, slicing with a knife. And it's just, it's scary, and it's scariest to what it could mean for River too.
There's a big difference between being crazy and being dangerous crazy. And I think up until now, we all felt like River was crazy and maybe like a little bit dangerous crazy, but not really like mortally lethal crazy. Like, I know I felt like she was always more of a danger to herself, but with this episode, you're like, oh no, she's like seriously like unpredictable dangerous crazy. And I think for me, what even ups that is after she slices him, it's not even an, oh, I'm sorry, or her confusion of like, I didn't know. It's that like really cold, psychopathic, he looks good in red thing. It's like, oh my God, who are you? Like, I know that, I think, creeped me out more than the original attack itself. I don't know if you guys felt the same about that.
Yeah, that line got me. I was like, what is she doing? Like, what is that? It just surprised me, and I didn't know how to feel about it, because I don't really like love Jane, but I still thought it was like just completely out of nowhere. So yeah, it was definitely a red flag for the whole River situation.
Yeah, and it's definitely got Mal's attention too, because he's been like, you know, you've kind of earned your place here as the doctor, and you know, particularly after the previous week where Simon saves Zoe's life, he saved Mal's life, he certainly before that saved Kaylee's life, all from very much life or death situations. So he's already been responsible for saving the lives of half the crew. So he certainly really proved his worth. So I feel like Mal doesn't, you know, want to toss them off. But at a certain point, if little sister is going to start picking off the crew, he's going to have no choice. So I feel this really kind of sets Simon in motion, not only as to why he urgently needs to find out on a much quicker scale what's wrong with River, but, you know, also to continue to, you know, prove his worth to the crew, and the fact that he can say, you know, hey, there's this mission and there's medicine and we can all make money here, plus it'll do me good. I think it was really smart of him to instantaneously come up with, you know what, I've got to work here, I've got to think on my feet, and I've got to get these guys on my side. And I thought it was a really kind of clever way that he came up with getting what he needed. And I think it shows that Simon's much more comfortable there, and he's, you know, really learning how to function in this new world. He's definitely getting more used to dealing with it. So the, you know, wheels get set into motion. And I don't know about you guys, but one of the things that I love so much about this episode is Simon being in his element and taking charge. And you get to see just what high quality he is. Like, it wasn't just all bull. Like, he's training them and prepping them. And I think for me, one of my favorite things of all time is him running them through their paces, trying to teach them the lingo, and watching Jane and Zoe and Mal each being just so bad at trying to learn this stuff. What did you guys think of that sort of the preparation rehearsal?
It felt a lot like, I kept making parallels to them rehearsing like the actual episode, like as actors, and it was really great. in a way, I guess it kind of broke the fourth wall or third wall or whatever the hell you want to call it. But I really liked it just because it felt nice to see them all working together at something and Jane not wanting to like bite Simon's head off.
Yeah, I love Jade. Like if I wanted schooling, I would have gotten schooling, you know, and he can't learn all this stuff. You know, and the words that Mal keeps coming up with are hilarious. That sort of sound like the right word, but aren't. They're so funny.
Oh, I know. And I love that one of the things they have to do is, like, build this ship. Like, out of nowhere, they go to a scrapyard, find it, paint it. Kaylee gets it running. Like, holy cow. Like, that's just, it just cracked me up because I was like, you know, the stealing uniforms and creating different identities and all of that, like, it fits right in. But I just did not see the building a spaceship thing coming. And so every time I saw it, I just kind of giggled, like, wow, that's just insane.
Yeah, I also like that they got Wash involved. So you know that apparently Wash knows a little more than just being able to fly it. Since he and Kaylee are the ones putting it together, you get the idea that Wash has some more mechanical skills and stuff too that we didn't really realize before this time. So they end up setting this, you know, whole plan in motion that they're going to sneak River in and Simon's going to do this. I was going to say dissection, but that's completely wrong. He's not dissecting his sister. He's doing this whole diagnostic on her to find out what's wrong with her. So, you know, eventually they manage to, you know, sneak in there and he gets in. One of the scenes that I really love as they're sneaking in is it sneaking in or sneaking out? I'm trying to remember now. The scene where this guy is, you know, going into, what is it, like cardiac arrest or something. And River kind of can detect it ahead of time and tips Simon off. And Simon goes over to help him. I love that scene where Simon basically just rips into the guy for being a moron. What did you guys think of that scene?
That's one of my favorite Simon moments, period. Because you finally get to see how he fits. Like, this is what he is good at. He is better than most people. You know, he's not just good at it. He's better than most professionals at that job. And it's so good to see him getting the chance to be really competent at this thing when he's so often is thrown off balance by things on the ship in this life he's not used to. And now he's like, this is what he's good at.
Yeah, I really enjoyed seeing him, like, in his element, like, taking charge. Like, I loved all of that, too. So, yeah, it was a really great scene.
I loved seeing my boyfriend shine as my knight in shining armor. It was beautiful.
He's great. He's great. And you're right. It is so a knight in shining armor. And I think you made the really good point, too, that he's just not competent. He is highly skilled. Like, Serenity is lucky to have somebody of his caliber on board. Like, maybe if they didn't have somebody with the skill set of Simon, Kaylee or Mal or Zoe would be dead. Like, he is just that good. So he is so worthwhile to have as a passenger on the ship. So they get into the room where they're going to be, you know, they split into, you know, and Zoe and Mal are off doing their bit. And their bit, other than like a minor little encounter with somebody, goes pretty well. They do some improvising, but by and large, it goes pretty well for Zoe and Mal doing their bit. And then we get Jane watching Simon do the whole analysis thing on River, and we find out that apparently what the Alliance has been doing to her is repetitive brain surgery, which is just scary as hell, we realize. And what they have done apparently is remove, is it pronounced amygdala? I think that's how they pronounce it. They remove.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounced it in the show.
Yeah, clearly I was not a science major. So they removed the part of her brain that regulates your emotional response to things and lets you turn on, turn off, you know, kind of shut down to protect yourself, how you react to things. And River doesn't have that anymore. So whatever she sees just hits her full throttle, no matter if it's wonderful or terrible or horrible, it just comes blasting at her and she has no control of turning it off. I mean, I kind of likened it to like constantly having a TV set on that the volume is all the way up on and you can't filter it at all. So that's why she's so feeling everything all the time. But at the same time, too, you still get that it didn't explain everything. Like, did you guys feel like, all right, that explains the overreaction to stuff, but clearly she's still like, I don't want to say telepathic, but like intuitive or empathic. What did you guys think?
Like, that was just the beginning of the iceberg, like the tip of the iceberg. Like, that's where the experiments started. And I feel like now Simon says he's downloaded the data from her brain and everything, and he'll be able to take a look and see what he can do for her. And then he'll be able to discover what else they did and what else they could is affecting her. Because I really don't think that's the only thing that's making her so clairvoyant.
Yeah, she definitely has some, like, super intuition kind of sense that she didn't have before, because we saw them as kids and I don't remember her having that ability. So it's clearly something that they did. I don't know how it would be related to this particular thing that he discovered with the amygdala, but it definitely is the result of some of the crazy things they did to her.
I get the impression that it was at least a start of a way to strip away any filters that she might have had over whatever empathic spark she might contain. So it might be a way to start getting in that, so she can't, you know, push it aside anymore. So, yeah, like Kyle said, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. I mean, it makes you wonder, like, what was the point of doing it to begin with? Okay, so they removed that. So was the point of removing that so they could figure out how to get people to feel things more? Or conversely, well, if we remove it, let's learn how they react to feel things less. I mean, it really makes you wonder what the hell was their purpose of doing that? Or were they, I don't know, researching amygdalas in general and decided you didn't need yours? Like,
crack theory.
Go for the crack theory. Go for it.
The Alliance is trying to figure out how to make their army invulnerable to emotions so that they don't have to worry about their friends or their family, so that when someone joins the army, they can operate on them, and the only thing they care about is going to be the military and their job, and they don't have emotions holding them back.
Cool crack theory. That's actually not a bad crack theory at all. That's actually really cool crack theory. And it would make you realize, like, why this thing was so super top secret. I mean, if you think about it, you know, afterwards, you know, Jane has this whole double cross, and, you know, he brings the Alliance in. And if you notice it, the guy, you know, is like, well, I have the prisoners for you. They're here. And then he says something about right after I talked to them. And the guys with the hands of blue go, oh, you talked to the prisoners? Did you get the feeling that if he hadn't talked to them, if he had just been like, yeah, this thing came up, they're locked in, they're over there, that he could have gone his merry way, but because he actually engaged them in some level of conversation, that's why his life and his team's life was forfeit? Did you guys get that impression too?
Absolutely. Because the last time we saw them, they were talking to that other group, and they never saw River and Simon, so we never saw anything really happen to them, I don't think.
I just got creepy flashbacks to, like, an evil version of the Men in Black with their little blinky light thing.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was going to, like, wipe their memory. I didn't realize it was just going to make them cry blood.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
totally,
and then all
fry
of a sudden he's leaking blood.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, like, how creepy is that? I mean, talk about a way on a low-budget show just to make things really scary. I mean, super effective, boy. Wow.
Yeah, and I think that's actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that, like, the most goriest that the show has gotten in terms of, like, showing blood and showing death? Like, showing someone's head just do that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Even Kaylee getting shot in the stomach, like, you weren't seeing lots of gore there, not really. Yeah, this is absolutely, I would agree with you, the goriest that we've had.
I'd put it on par with the guy who was becoming a Reaver.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Earlier.
But I think the camera angle on this, too, like, that's what makes it. The fact that, that camera, if it was any more up, like, closer, it would be right up his nose. I mean, that camera is just, like, dead right on him, you know? So I think that certainly makes it scarier to begin with there. So, I mean, it makes you realize that whatever their motivation is for removing this amygdala, they don't want anybody talking to her about anything. Like, there's clearly some information they are terrified is going to be revealed, or maybe a piece of it inadvertently revealed, that they just have to be like, okay, eliminate it. So whatever it is that they're up to is obviously, like, top secret on a whole other level of being top secret. Do you guys definitely get that? Like, this is a whole other level of, like, secret ops kind of thing?
Yeah, I think I'm most interested in the fact that they want both Simon and River alive, because I can see why they would be most concerned with getting River back and that Simon could be collateral. So I'm interested that they also want Simon alive.
I know I have a theory as to why they want Simon alive. Do you guys have any theories on why they want Simon too?
Well, I mean, he did manage to sneak her out of there, and I'm guessing that's not something that happens very often. So maybe they just want to, like, interrogate him and find out how he managed to do it so they could stop it from happening again.
Yeah, I mean, that was my theory, too. I was just curious if anybody else came up with it. So, yeah, clearly you did. That was my thing. I mean, I think River is their primary, but they want to know how Simon did it to stop it from happening again. I completely agree. So you have the two of them, and they discover what they discover, and then they're making their break for it. And Jane is there, you know, and he's going to sell them out. Do you feel like prior to the point where the Alliance captures them and then, you know, the double cross is on Jane, do you think Jane was second guessing his decision prior to them being captured? Or do you think he was about, nah, I want my money, I'm not thinking twice of this? Like, do you think he had any regrets when he learned what her problem was and everything?
I sort of think that watching Simon save that guy, like the patient that was dying because the other doctor made mistakes, I think when he saw that, something kind of clicked. Like, we might actually need this guy. Like, I might have just made a huge mistake. And so I do kind of think he may have regretted it a little bit, maybe not enough to cut off what he had done, because he still at that point thought he was getting paid, and we all know that Jane is out for himself and out for his own, you know, his money. But I do think he was starting to kind of regret maybe doing it here and doing it now, like, maybe we still need this guy.
I thought I detected some regret when he was listening to Simon list off what had happened, and he was explaining all these horrible things that had happened to her. And I thought at least a little bit that he was going, that's really horrible.
Yeah, I'm torn whether it was like regret or just him being like, oh, wow, like that sucks. Like, wow, that's really crappy what the Alliance did to you. But still being Jane and looking out for number one. Yeah, I'm kind of torn as to what he felt. So they eventually get captured by the Alliance, and the big old double cross happens, and you know, they finally end up getting away. What do you think was the moment when Jane decided, you know, like, obviously the double cross happened because this guy was going to take the money? It wasn't like, you know, Jane got to the tip top people, and I think he realizes that. At what point do you think Jane decides, you know what, I'm not going to try to find the tip top people, I'm not going to try to get them to somebody else? What do you think makes him finally change his mind and be like, yeah, you know what, we're getting out of here?
I mean, I think I detected his real shift being when he realized he wasn't getting paid and that he was getting screwed over by them and they were going to arrest him as well. And he said, well, that's not my best option. So what's my second best option?
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, for me, I was wondering if he was still considering it up until he heard the screaming. And then he was like, oh, that, yeah, maybe I'm really not getting paid, and maybe it's getting worse than that. Like, I wonder if he was still kind of just thinking, well, this moron tried to double-cross me, maybe there's somebody else who won't, you know, because clearly they're waiting for, like, higher forces. But I think the screaming kind of stops him. I don't know. Do you guys think that that had any effect or no?
I think the screaming scared him, but I'm with Caitlin. I think what stopped him was just that, oh, I'm not getting paid, because he was like, oh, well, now that, I can't remember the exact quote, so I'm not even going to try. But the guy who told him that he wasn't getting paid said that, oh, well, now we have three felons or something. Didn't he mention, like, Jane as one of his felons? Or was it?
Yeah, he said they were arresting him for, like, aiding and abetting the fugitives.
Exactly. So now, and so he's like, well, I'm not going to help these people at all. I'm going to help my friends out. Or maybe not my friends, but these people out, because he likes them better.
Yeah. I mean, and plus he also ends up with, you know, just Simon being incredibly stupid. I mean, aside from the fact that Simon is very smart when it comes to, you know, obviously all things medical, he is too stupid to put it together that Jane has betrayed him. You know, he thinks the best of Jane. He doesn't think that, you know, he was sold out. So clearly Simon doesn't know, and Jane is willing to go along with it. Now, here's a question. Do you think River knows?
I think River could tell from the very beginning that something was going on. I think her distrust with Jane from the moment that she slashed him with his knife was just her intuition trying to stop him. I think she knew the entire time, but she couldn't or wouldn't say anything.
She was also making some comments when Jane was trying to get them to leave before the time that Mal had given them was up that seemed, I don't remember what she said, but they were kind of, Jane read them with a guilty conscience, but Simon had no idea what they were, but it seemed like she knew.
You would think that Simon could tell that, hey, Jane is taking us like several minutes before we're supposed to go and through a completely different route. Oh, and now they're feds. Oh, this isn't a coincidence.
Yeah, Simon's not great on the uptake, is he?
No.
My question was, what was Jane going to tell Mal? Like, did some alliance just happen to be looking for them in that building and got lucky and goodbye Tams? Like, how was he going to defend himself about this? Like, I don't know if he thought it through at all about how he was going to make it okay with the crew later.
Oh, see, I don't think he was gonna. I think he was just, going to get off and get a really big payday and go look to be a mercenary for somebody else. Like, he's on a big old core planet. I just figured he was going to hook up somewhere else, but I don't know. Maybe he would have gone back to the crew. What do you guys think? Would he have gone back to Serenity with some sort of excuse, or would he have just made his break right there?
I also think he would have made his break.
I think he would have had to go back to the ship. I mean, his true love Vera's on the ship.
Can't leave without Vera.
But he might have made a break, but I think he would have at least tried to go back for some of his favorite guns, if nothing else. But I could have just seen him being like, well, this is a core planet. Of course there were Alliance troops. Like, what do you expect?
Well, here's a question. Let's say, for example, that it hadn't gotten to the point that it did. Let's say he successfully handed them over, got his money. Do you think he would have then, you know, obviously, I think they would have asked him more questions. Do you think he then would have fully betrayed Mal and been like, yeah, you know what, here's this guy you were looking for. He's done a couple of these jobs. And would he have looked to make even more money by cashing in on the crew of Serenity for doing, you know, the other things that they've done?
I think if it would have gotten him a bigger payday, I think he absolutely would have. I probably wouldn't have said that before out of gas, but after seeing how he became a part of the crew and seeing that he doesn't really seem to have any strong ties to anybody, I do think he would at least consider turning everybody in to save his own skin and to maybe get a little more money.
Here's a question, too, because I think it ties into Out of Gas. Who was the one person in Out of Gas he was concerned with other than himself? If you think about it, it's Mal. Because he talks about, Mal, I prepped a space suit for you. I did this. I did this. Like, Jane did all this other stuff on Serenity before he gets into the shuttle. And he even hands Mal a space suit saying, like, this is fully prepped for you. Like, you know, when things get rough, like if you have to go outside the hull or like live in the suit, like you can do this. And I don't think Mal really asked him to do all that. So I feel like on a certain level, Jane still has a level of loyalty to Mal, because I guess he considers Mal like an equal and, you know, kind of how Mal brought him in. But I don't think he's very loyal to anybody else still. But again, I think the money has a lot to do with it. For the right price, I think anybody maybe could have been bought out by Jane.
Do Mal and the others have prices on their head that he would have gotten money for? I don't think they do.
Well, for the cargo, I mean, it's piddly stuff, but it's for the, you know, for like the stealing and the exporting and the that. Yeah, I mean, they have, you know, because at one point they were saying on the Alliance that they had flagged a Firefly vessel and, you know, a lot of the little petty, like, theft kind of stuff. He could turn them in for that. I mean, it's not a huge deal, but if for no other reason, Mal knowingly has been keeping fugitives. It's not like he didn't knowingly do it. So they could certainly get him for that.
Well, you could get him arrested, but if there's no price on his head, there probably wouldn't be any money in him for it.
That's a good point.
So it probably wouldn't be worth the risk.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Although I doubt Jane would even consider that if he doesn't, you know, like in the conversation, he says, well, I can sweeten the deal. I know sitting outside, there's, you know, four criminals who have been aiding these fugitives for months. And, you know, they've also got this, this, and this on board. You know, I'm your link to them. What do I get for it?
Yeah.
Like, I think they wouldn't necessarily have to have a price on their heads to get money out of the deal.
Yeah, it's interesting to see like how far it would go, but like I said, obviously it turns around. How did you like that entrance there of Mal and Zoe at the end, like when the door comes down? Did you think it was the Alliance coming through the door, or did you think it was Mal and Zoe to the rescue?
We thought it was Mal and Zoe. I was just like, oh yay, they're gonna get saved. I don't know why.
I was busy cracking up because Kaylee was briefing Inara on what they had done that day.
That's true. That is so funny. Yeah. And it's so matter of fact as Kaylee does it too. Yeah, no, Captain is, you know, just trying to get him back. Like, and she's so upbeat. Like, she's not remotely worried about this at all. Like, she just, I mean, Kaylee is still so like, everything's going to work out.
Yeah, and I love that she doesn't use the word drugged. She used the word killed. We killed River and Simon, and Captain's just getting everybody back, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, no big deal.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. It's definitely pretty hilarious. So they all get back on the ship, and, you know, Simon makes this big thing about, like, how they owe everything to Jane, and this guy was just, like, terrific, and you know, so they're all, you know, going back to their quarters and whatever. And Mal figures it out. How do you think Mal figured it out? What is it that tipped him off that something was up here?
I think it was just the common sense that Simon was missing. You know, like getting them early and getting them a different route, plus the fact that there's just Alliance at this thing where Mal never agreed on. I think he put two and two together. Plus, he never trusted Jane. He said to Inara in Out of Gas, don't trust Jane. So he himself doesn't even trust Jane, because the way that he got Jane was sketchy enough. So I feel like it was just all of this that he's... And like two episodes he thought Jane was going to shoot him with Vera. Like, so it's all of that put together into this one circumstance that he's just like, this is obviously you.
Can I just say, I don't necessarily think Simon is lacking common sense for not picking up on that, because he doesn't know the history with Jane the way that Mal does. And I think Simon probably assumes that Jane has a level of loyalty to Mal and that Mal is protecting him. So he probably feels like he's safe. So he would have no reason to think that Jane would turn on him like that.
That is a good point, too. And if you think about it with Out of Gas, too, on how they were dividing up the people on the shuttle that time and who heard what conversation, Zoe, Wash, Simon, and River on one shuttle, and then the others on the other. So, like, he didn't hear, like, the don't trust Jane stuff, and, you know, he didn't get some of it. I mean, he knows, you're right, I guess he knows Jane can be an oaf, but he doesn't know that he could be maybe ruthless. Like the time he drugged Jane and he was just like, I was uncomfortable with him being in charge, you know, and he drugs him and knocks him out. Like, there's a difference between just being kind of an oaf and being ruthless. And I guess he didn't think Jane was going to go to that ruthless level. How did you like the way Mal dealt with it? Like, what did you think of the way that Mal just was like, I'm throwing you out the airlock and there's this little, you know, recording device so they could talk. What did you think about that scene?
That's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite scenes in the episode. And I think that's the only way you really get through to Jane. Like, I don't think you can just, like, you know, blindly threaten him and you scold him and it's going to work. Like, throwing him in the airlock and threatening his life, I think, is the way to get through to him.
Yeah, not really a diplomacy kind of guy so much.
Yeah, not so much.
He has to speak his language, and that's the only way he can understand how serious a crime in Mal's eyes that it was what he did. Like, that was traitorous, it was treasonous to the ship, and that's the only way he can do it, by speaking Jane's language.
Do you think he really would have gone through with it? Do you think Mal would have actually let, you know, Jane be sucked out into the atmosphere and either plunged to his death or, you know, been sucked out into the vacuum of space, depending upon, like, what comes first? Do you think he really would have gone through with it the whole way?
If he thought that Jane would do it again, yeah. because he has to look out for his crew, and he puts that above everything else. And if Jane's going to be a danger to that he can't trust, he cannot have him on his ship.
Maybe not in this specific instance. Like, I think he always planned on letting him back into the ship, but if something like this, if he ever got any ideas that something like this was going to happen again, I don't think Mal would think twice about getting rid of Jane.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, yeah, maybe he would have taken him back in, locked him up, and then thrown him off in some other planet. But if he ever did it again, I think Mal would put a bullet right between his eyes. Like, that would be it. This is like his one get-out-of-jail-free card, if you know what I mean. Like, this is the screw-up you get to make, and then you do this again and you're a dead man. I mean, I definitely feel like Mal will show no mercy if he ever tried anything like this ever again. What do you think was the turning point for Mal? The point where he was like, okay, I'm going to let you back in. Like, what do you think it was that Mal saw or Jane did that he was like, all right, I get it. You do finally understand how off this is. What do you think was that turning point for Mal to let Jane back into the ship?
I think it was him saying, you know, tell them a lie about why I'm dead, because he doesn't want them to know that he had tried to turn on them. And that shows at least an underlying sense of that he did something wrong, that he wouldn't want these people he's been traveling with to know about.
Am I the only one who really wanted him to die? And, like, I feel really
bad. You always want people to die.
I do. I'm really excited for Game of Thrones because I really hope someone dies.
Well, this is a Joss Whedon show, so.
Oh, man. You see, that's the thing I don't like about Joss Whedon is that
there's no wanton killing?
No, exactly.
There's not enough death. Oh, Tarek. Poor. Well, I can guarantee you this much, at least. On Game of Thrones, you will see serious people dying.
I'm so excited. I just hope Tyrion doesn't die, and I hope Arya doesn't die, and I hope Sansa doesn't die, and I... Oh, sorry. This is a different podcast.
Anyway,
yeah. So who knows? Well, you don't know. Somebody might buy it here at some point in Firefly. You don't know. Somebody may die, so...
Well,
I was
really hoping that Zoe would die, but no, she ended up living, so...
I think you were the only person I have ever heard of who has, like, the Zoe death wish. That's a new one. Ten years of fandom, and it's the first time I've heard somebody wish ill on Zoe. Oh, my God.
It's not that I want, like, this is difficult. It's not that I'm, like, looking for her to get shot, but once she was out, I was like, okay, this should make the show a lot more interesting.
Kill that crew. Tarek wants blood.
Yes.
Wanton random killing. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see how well this one goes, bud. All right. Then why don't we get into now our favorite lines from the show? There were some really, really good ones this time out. Anybody want to hop in with what were your favorite lines from this show?
My favorite was the exchange between, like, it was Wash, Simon, and Jane was in the room too, and Wash says, so, 2 days in a hospital, that's awful. Don't you just hate doctors? Simon says, hey. Wash says, I mean, present company excluded. And then Jane chimes in with, let's not be excluding people. That'd be rude. I just love the whole thing. Like, it's just so Jane just throwing a barb at Simon, and the whole scene was just great. I loved it.
My favorite line was when they finally go into the hospital after, like, searching, after rehearsing their lines, like, over and over, and the nurse is just like, oh, just take him down in the morgue. And, like, they all look really stunned, so they about to go walking, and then James is like, we applied the cortical electrodes, but we were unable to get a neural reaction from either patient. And he just stands there, and people are like,
Yeah, okay. Overachiever.
Yeah.
And then Mal gives him the death stare. Like, what you just do?
It was one of those moments in TV where you're embarrassed for the character, and I just had to look away. I was like, oh, God.
My favorite line was at the very end during that dramatic scene when Mal says to Jane, the next time you decide to stab me in the back, have the guts to do it to my face. I like what it means, but then it's like, wait a second. What are you saying?
Mal Reynolds, the Yogi Berra of, like, outer space, you know, who just says, yeah, exactly. Like, quotes that don't quite make it. Mine is a similar one to that. right in the same area, is when they're yelling at each other through the little communications devices and they're looking at each other through that little porthole, and Mal just hammers it into him, going, "You turn on any of my crew, you turn on me, understand?" Because Jane was there going, "But it's not like I betrayed you." And he's like, "No, you moron, that's exactly what you did." And he just puts it on, just puts it on the line of, you know, "You turn on any of my crew, you turn on me." And it's just such a great way to run the ship. And if you think about it, that's kind of how Mal has been all along. Like, he would defend anyone of that crew from getting harmed or attacked by anyone else. And that's really sort of, I guess, a bit of the credo by which Mal lives, whether he was commanding forces or he's the captain on Serenity, is that we're all in this together and he's going to defend the people who have agreed to be under his leadership to his best ability. So I think that's why I really, really, really love that particular quote. How about favorite scenes? We did cover this a little bit, but maybe more specifically, what are our favorite scenes from this particular show?
I really loved the final exchange between Jane and Mal, because I feel like it was a true, like, come to Jesus moment for both of them, because we finally see, you know, Mal threaten Jane and put him in his place and say, "Listen, this is what you did. This is what you did wrong. And if you do it again, I'm, you know, no mercy." And Jane, I think, really gets it. And he understands that he is a part of this crew and they are all, you know, they all need to take care of each other. And he screwed up major. So, yeah, I just really loved that last scene.
I really like the scene between Simon and River, because I loved at the very beginning, or not the very beginning, but when he's putting her to sleep and like how scared she is, but like she just lets him do it and she like trusts him. And I feel like, I don't know, it was very like, I don't know, there's a reference I want to make, but I don't know what I want to reference to, but it was very like that. So whatever you're imagining, what you think I'm referencing, it's that. It was very like that, and it was beautiful.
Okay, on that note, my favorite scene was the entire montage of when they're getting ready to go to the hospital after Simon's, you know, briefing them on what they need to do. And I really appreciate how in this scene that the balance of power has completely shifted in Simon's favor, that he's been the, you know, the brunt of so many jokes so far that people have been playing on him. And now he's the one who's like, "This is how it's going to be. These are all the things you need to know." And they're having to answer to him if they want to get their payday. And I thought that was kind of fun to see the change.
Yeah, that's definitely, for me, what it is too, because it is just so funny, like watching the faces of Zoe and Mal and Jane, like they look like their brains are going to explode because they're trying so hard and they just can't get it right and they're desperately, desperately trying to do it. So I really, it's hilarious. Like the whole, there's this one exchange where Simon's, you know, pretending to elicit the right response from it. And Mal goes, "The patients were cynical and not responding and we couldn't bring them back." And Simon's like, "No, they were cyanotic." And he's like, "Yeah, like cyanotic, like that's what I said." And he's like, "No, you said they were cynical, you know." And then there's all sorts of things, like the whole bit about like they used pulmonary stimulators, and he's like, "No, infusers, like they just can't get it right. It is so hilarious. But I think my favorite one in the whole thing was when Mal talks about how their pupils were fixed and dilapidated, and Simon's like, "Dilated." Like he's just like, I burst out laughing at several points during it, and Simon is just, how he gets through that without bursting out and laughing, I don't know. Like he's so patient in that whole thing, and I can't ever watch that sequence without just busting a gut laughing. So that's why it's my personal favorite. So I guess that wraps it up for this particular episode. Next time out, we're going to be talking about War Stories, which is such a fun episode. It definitely gives a lot more insight into Wash. And I know a lot of Wash fan people are out there. I know I'm not the biggest Wash fan person, but I would say for anybody who is rapidly becoming a big Wash fan, this is a story that you are absolutely going to love for all the Wash goodness that goes on in it. So I'm sure it'll be a very popular one amongst everybody. So until the next time, thanks for listening, guys. I'm Laura.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Kyle.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.